The question was asked, what should a person do when he wants to do a certain mitzvah and he finds he cannot? He isn't given access to that mitzvah. And then A person asks himself, how much should I try? And B, the question is, what do you do with the frustration when you cannot do that? So in answer to the first question, so that's a general question, which is hard to define. How much hishtadlut should a person do? When do you say you're starting to go crazy? I mean, in the realm of hishtadlut, of an effort to accomplish something, so there's the realm of normalcy, and it's a little hard to define. You know, each case deserves a different amount of tenacity. You have people here that if they weren't tenacious, they would have never made giyut. People sometimes spend a decade fighting the system to be able to make aliyah or to do giyur, and you can't tell a person don't do that. So it depends on how much weight a specific mitzvah has to a person, right? A giyur is a whole lifetime. You know, it's a lifetime of mitzvot. There are other mitzvot where if you can't, you can't. If Mada isn't going to accept you, fine. You know, I went to donate blood, I don't know how many times, maybe 10 times the last 2 years. They haven't yet accepted my blood once. Each time for a different reason. Well, yeah, they asked me, are you feeling okay? So I said, I had a cough a week ago or whatever. Each time there was something else. And each time for a different reason, they wouldn't accept it. One time I felt well for 2 weeks straight and I went to donate blood. And I forgot that I had given my wife the tudat zuhut to go to the bank with my tudat zuhut. So I show up, I don't have the tudat zuhut. I'm telling you, in the last 2 years, I've gone there maybe 10 times. And each time for a different reason, I couldn't donate. So, okay. What? Maybe a sign, right? Okay, you try. I'm saying, and then you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to keep trying. Remember that Avraham Avinu, when he went to that Akedah, he had a lot of hurdles to cross. We're going to learn about that tonight. So sometimes you have to be patient and you'll get there. And sometimes you say, I tried and I can't. What can I do? You try, and you try within the realm of normalcy. More than that, I don't know how to quantify it. The Chazon Ish wrote a whole book, Emunah u'Bitachon, discussing how much hishtadlut a person should really invest in life in general. So I don't know how to answer that more accurately. I'm saying there's a realm within normalcy. When it comes, you want to accomplish, you want to volunteer to Mada. You're not talking about not eating pork. You're not talking about getting matzah for Pesach. You're talking about mitzvahs which aren't obligatory. You're talking about mitzvahs which you want to volunteer to do. So if right now that mitzvah isn't accessible to you, okay, what can you do? The question is, how do you deal with that and not be frustrated? So that involves an important attitude in life in general. There was a student of rabbinics who was studying, and other students kept coming to ask him questions, and he couldn't advance in his studies. And students would come and ask him questions, and every time he'd have his goals, and he'd never accomplish them, because every time someone else needed his help, so he'd stop his learning and go and help that person, and then he didn't end up learning his own, what he needed to learn. So he went to the teacher, and he said, what am I supposed to do? So the teacher said, you're supposed to help people who come and ask you for help. So he said, yeah, but I'm not getting my own learning done. So he said, okay, so you'll try to take advantage of the time you can, but you also have to help people. If people come and ask you for help, you have to help them. So he said, yeah, but you know, I'm helping people. And what ends up happening is I'm learning 8 hours a day instead of 12 hours a day, and I could be accomplishing 12 hours a day. So his teacher said, right, but the Torah tells us a criterion. That if there are certain situations where no one else could help the other person and they're asking you for help, you have to stop your learning and help them. So he said, right, so I know this widow who needs a hand, and she gives me a call and she says she needs a hand and there really is no one else who could help her. So I stop and I go and help her and I finish helping her, and then there's this orphan that comes by and says, you know, I need help getting accepted to a school, and I go and I help him, and then I finish helping him, and then I get a phone call that this person doesn't have food, and I go and help them, and I'm bombarded, and I'm losing a lot of time each day. So his teacher said to him, look, the same God who gave the Torah also gave us a commandment that you have to stop your learning to do mitzvos that cannot be accomplished by someone else other than you. That's the criterion of Torah. So you'll say, but I wanted to accomplish much more learning in the day. Right. But that's you. What did God say? God said, this is the system. When there are mitzvahs that cannot be accomplished by someone else, you have to stop and do them. So you'll tell yourself, but what about my learning? So maybe you were supposed to live 70 years. And now, because you learned, because of all the mitzvahs you stopped to do, so you've lost the equivalent of 10 years of Torah. So maybe God will give you 80 years of life. You don't know, right? That's his calculation. He gave you the system, you're working within the system. If you were supposed to accomplish 70 years worth of learning, and you worked within the system, and because you worked within the system, you did not accomplish, so that's not going to be held against you. Maybe you'll be granted greater longevity. So when I heard that, at first, it sounded like a nice thought. Then I realized, hey, that's a Gemara. The Gemara describes there was a Rebbe whose student couldn't catch things until he was taught 400 times. Do you guys heard this Gemara? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Rebbe would always teach him something 400 times. And one time he finished teaching it the 400th time, and he asked the student, "Nu, did you get it?" So he looked at him and said, "No." So he said, "Why?" So he said, "Well, when you started teaching, you said you were in a rush. So every time I heard it, I kept thinking, after this, you're going to leave. So I couldn't focus. I kept thinking, you're leaving in a second. You're going to leave me. So I couldn't focus." So he said, "Okay, so let's sit down. Now we're going to go over it another 400 times. And he sat down and went over it another 400 times. So the Talmud says a heavenly voice came out and blessed him, and I think said he's going to live 400 years. I think it says over there, he's given a great blessing. So what is that line in Talmud tell us? It tells us this idea. He didn't lose anything by giving the student more time. We think I'm losing. That's because we're working from our perspective. But we have to realize there's a system. I'm working with the system. I'm doing what's right. I'm not going to lose by it. I spoke to a rabbi of a community this week. And he said to me that when he first came to the community, so every time someone would leave the community, he'd sit down and start thinking, okay, what did I do wrong? Why did this guy leave? And what am I supposed to do now? And he'd invest a lot of thought with every family that left the community. And then he came to the realization, wait a second. I was sent here with a mission to teach. I'm teaching. Families come in, families go out. My job is to teach whoever's here. If they're not here, I can't teach them, right? So it's no longer my responsibility. So who's deciding who's going to be here? Not me. This isn't within my realm of control. So obviously, I'm supposed to teach whoever's here right now. If they're not here right now, it's not my responsibility. I can't teach them. They're not here. So he didn't have Machon Meir, right? He said that once he came to that realization, he stopped kicking himself and asking himself, what am I supposed to do? This family left the community. So I think that this applies to many mitzvot, this attitude. We sometimes have this plan of what we'd like to accomplish. So we try, and it's correct that we should try. But we also have to realize that there's a system I'm working within that system. I don't control the whole system. The realm that I can control, that's the realm I have to control. So if what I can control is right now, I can teach these people, so I'm going to teach these people. If I could work my way forward, I'll work my way forward. If I can't, so I'm going to stay here. But we have to come to terms, because that's part of the realization that I don't control the world. I once told the guys that I don't know how a person who doesn't believe in God could be happy. Because if I'm in control, then it's a very scary world. There's so much I don't control. I don't control my health. I don't control the missiles falling all around me. There's a million things I don't control. So even from a psychological perspective, I don't see how you could live a happy life. It's very scary. There are so many things out there that can happen. And if I don't believe there's a guiding hand, so I definitely don't control everything around me. So then it's a scary world to live in. This idea also applies to the performance of mitzvot. There are many mitzvot that are beyond my control. What can I do? I'm not a kohen. I'd love to go up there and spread my hands and bless everyone. But I'm not a kohen. I can't do it, right? So I had no use kicking myself. By the same token, there are many mitzvot that I can't do. So I have to come to terms with that, and the realization, I'm only responsible to do what I can do. There's a realm that's within my reach. That's where I have to reach for. Whatever's beyond my reach, fine, I shouldn't kick myself. Now, that stems from a realization that Hashem's running the world. Just like when it comes to the material world, I have to come to that realization. The same is true in the spiritual world. We have all kinds of dreams. I wish I knew the Shas. I wish I could get up every morning, Vasikin, be focused all day, be calm, be happy, be a great guy, be a great husband, even though I'm running on 2 hours of sleep, do a million mitzvot and still have time and focus for my family and making a livelihood. Right, I wish. Right, but at the end of the day, people need a certain amount of sleep, and they need a certain amount of downtime, they need a certain amount of family time, and at the end of the day, there isn't that much time left. So we have to come to terms with the fact that there are certain mitzvot we can accomplish, and not kick ourselves all the time, but say, okay, fine, I'm doing my own. We once said, when you want to gauge yourself, imagine a car that's in gears, or riding a bike. The car has to be working at a certain pace, right? If the motor is working too hard, then that's not good for the car. If the motor is working too easy, that's also not good. You know the purring of the motor, that's right. That's the gear you're supposed to be in, where it's working, but it's within the realm that it's supposed to be working. It's not, you're not driving the motor crazy. Same as a human being. You have to be purring. You have to be working, but purring. Not stressed out, not working like crazy, not on easy street. Somewhere in the middle, where it's a comfortable, I'm working, but it's comfortable. Not that I'm ending every day saying, I should have done more, I could have done more, I wish I did more. No, then I'm overworking, I'm over-expecting from myself. Fair enough, yeah. On this point, okay.
You said that you have to stop your learning to do a mitzvah that cannot be done by someone else. How is one supposed to gauge